Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Hi there, hi there. This is Marcia Cappuccino, and you're tuned in to the Global Vision for Living Today show. Hi, hi, everybody. It's gorgeous out here in the state, and I want to welcome you for joining. There's been so much going on. You know, I know, as I say every week, you guys are reading your newspapers. You're hearing people speaking over here. You're hearing them speaking over there. Oh, my God, what's going on in the universe? But you know what you're not hearing? You're not hearing people say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's our topic today. Everything that we do, it ought to be in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know why? This is the reason why. There's no other name given under heaven by which can be used to help heal man's ills and to put him back on the right track. No, you don't hear that. You don't hear in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You hear in the name of this. You hear in the name of that. You hear in the name of whatever. But you do not hear anyone in all of the ills, all of the bad things people say facing man. You don't hear them holler out and say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. My name is nothing. Your name is nothing. Your grandma's name is nothing. If that name has not been pronounced on he or she in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know what? Most of us don't even live under that banner. We're living under our own knowledge, our own wisdom. And look at what's happening. Can't solve anything. Can't solve no problem. Ain't solved no problem. Just going about talking here and talking there. You know, my father has a tape out, and you can order that tape for $18. He says, the late, great Bishop Mims, he said, I am going to let my work speak for myself, not somebody's mouth on what you're about, not somebody's mouth. Oh, he's so good. He says he wants his works to speak for himself. So you don't need no human tongue when you can watch what a person do and what they don't do and what they're not able to do. So I want you to stay with us this morning. I see here on the dashboard 202 number. I know that number by heart, Colonel William Harrison. That's his number. Are you with us today, sir?
Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino. Yes, ma'am. I am with you and with your listening audience on this Labor Day holiday weekend, and what a blessing it is to still be able to have a voice and be able to help uplift and encourage one another. So thank you, Doc. I'm with you.
You're welcome. That is right, because, you know, I tell people that you have a most glorious voice, and oh boy, do you know how to use it. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I preface this by saying this. There's many people counting on the Republican Party. There's many people counting on the Democratic political party. There's many people counting on chiefs of police in their state to talk about defunding them or giving them some more money and more tools to do their job. There's so much going on, but I don't hear anyone saying, you know what, let's pray. America is in trouble. Let's pray. The world is in trouble. The universe is in trouble. Let's pray. I don't hear anyone calling forth in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in their trials, tribulations, troubles, traversals, you know, whichever you want to call them. I don't hear that. And a lot of us is not hearing that because our places of worship have been shut down. And, of course, they claim, as of last night, many more will follow. I'm amiss. Colonel Harrison, why do you think people are calling on everything in the universe but the one that has already said, if you call on me, I will heal you and heal your land. If you call on me, I'm going to be there, even though you may not see me there. I could go on with some of those biblical phrases, but what's the story with that? people still have not bowed down and called on their creator in the midst of everything going on. What is the problem? What's the problem?
The world, Dr. Capitino, is going the way of Bible prophecy that is written in the first 39 books of the Old Testament of the Bible, and it's also outlined in the first 5 books of the Bible called the Torah. And prophecy is that in the old days, in the days before the New Testament was ushered in, which was the first century 2,000 years ago, is that prophecy were men of old who were spiritual men that could foretell what would happen in the future and also bring the word of God unto the people. If the people were sinning, the prophet would admonish the people to stop sinning. They stopped sinning, God sent blessings. If they continued to sin, God would send his wrath. They would end up in bondage by an enemy nation. We have gotten away from the word of God, but the prophecies that of old in the first 39 books of the Holy Bible are coming forth into the New Testament era during the church age and are being fulfilled. It said in the last days, the love of many shall wax cold, and they should be lovers unto themselves, have a form of godliness, but turning away from the power therein. So people are turning away from God because it's prophesied, but there's a remnant, there's a few that still will trust in the Lord and heed and adhere to the principles that are in the Bible, because there is a God. And you're right, Dr. Copperton. You're saying God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was a commandment that Jesus gave to his disciples in the first century, commanding them to go out to teach, preach, and baptize in the name of the Godhead, God the Father, Jesus Christ, Son, the Holy Spirit, so that people could have hope and they could have inspiration, they could have encouragement. Now we like in hope. Can't have hope and faith in the system. The system in America is built upon money, and that's collapsing because of the deficit. Can't have hope in some of our politicians because we've found they don't speak truth. There's only one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. People have to turn to God, the true and living God, meaning God, Jehovah. And I'll pause.
Yeah, they really have to. And see, when they turn to the true and the living God, everything they do should reflect that I'm doing this in the name of the Father. I'm talking about this in the name of the Son. I am moving about to and fro. I have my being. I'm breathing. I'm doing so under the auspice and in the name of the Holy Ghost. So I think people have forgotten that every move you make and every breath you take, you know, there's songs, there's records talking about that. It should be done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We can go all the way back to the first human pair and then the two that they had, Cain and Abel. Nothing has changed. You know, the universe rotates on its axis. Everything that goes on in the universe is in a rotational status. Everything that can be heard to a drop of a pin almost in the universe, it's planned, it's scheduled. And, of course, it is done under and in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Why haven't mankind caught on? What is it that they're lacking? What is it we're lacking? You know, it doesn't take much for anyone to be a linguist. Anyone that knows lots of languages, you know, they can pick and choose words out of 5, 6, 7, 8 portals in their brain. So I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the average man. Why haven't the average man caught on that everything that they do in the midst of their being, it should be done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? What's happening? What have we missed? What teaching have the people missed? Who's been responsible for teaching in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Where are they at? Where have they run? What is going on here? What have we missed?
The parents have failed to teach their children at an early age the principles of God that are written in the Septuagint, which is the Greek form of the Bible, is written in the Torah, which is the Judaism form of the Bible, and which is written in the traditional King James Version of the Bible. Parents have failed to teach children the principles that their parents and their grandparents and great-grandparents taught them. There were principles, values, edicts by which was handed down to man from days of old, from the Old Testament coming forth into the New Testament, where we live in, as I said a moment ago, in the church age, the 27 books of the New Testament, from Matthew to Revelation. There are principles that define how man, woman, and to live and how they are to teach their children to live. So we have gotten away from those principles, and when something is a part of us that is good for us, that will bless us, keep us, and prosper us, and we turn away from it, the opposite of peace is chaos. Those principles that are taught in the Bible brings peace, tranquility, hope, redemption, salvation, repentance, all those principles of the Bible. People turn away. They don't teach it. The parents are not teaching it. So the kids are running around, not knowing what to do, not having respect for each other, shooting and killing and all of that. So we have a lost generation, and the Bible says, as I prepare to pause again, there's a way about man that seems right, but the end leads to destruction. And so we're heading down the path of destruction instead of down the path of inspiration and salvation and prosperity and hope. We're heading down the wrong path. We've got to turn it around, those of us who are willing to stand on the words of God.
Well, let me ask you this, Colonel Harrison, because you just brought up a very interesting point. You said the world as we know it and its inhabitants are heading down the wrong path. Well, can you talk a little bit about that path? Because as far as I can see, no one is thinking or even acknowledging that they're headed in a wrong direction or on a path that is not conclusive with what the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost would represent. If they're headed down the wrong path, have they been told they're headed down the wrong path? Has anybody exhibited that the world as we know it is headed down the wrong path, outside for wicked works? I mean, let's talk about that wrong path. What is the wrong path that people are headed down, as you say?
Excellent. I'm glad you asked, Dr. Capitina, that question. If one would consider looking at the Holy Bible, the first book of the New Testament called Matthew, they will find in Matthew chapter 7 two defining verses of what I'm talking about, the wrong path. Matthew chapter 7, two defining verses. Briefly, verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. The wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." And 14 says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto everlasting life." And what Matthew, the scribe during the first century, was a tax collector, wrote on behalf of Jesus' teaching is that the world is going the way of the broad gate. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. The broad gate represents the world and the people in the world that live in the way they want to live and without regards to God. And so they're going the way of that broad gate. And most people are heading in that direction. 7. How many billion people there are on earth. But then the writer goes on to say, but the gate that leadeth to eternal life is narrow. Narrow is the way. Very few find it because most people are followers of each other, and they're thinking that the way that they're living and the way that they've been taught to live with the absence of God is the right way to live. That's the broad gate. That's the path that leads to destruction. The narrow gate are those who, the remnant, the few, that are still worshiping in church, still holding on to their beliefs, still having hope and encouragement and being disciples and spread the word of God. Narrow is that gate, and few find their way because most choose not to go the way of God, go the way of the world, the broad gate, which leads to destruction, rather than go the way of the narrow gate, which leads to God and eternal life. And so that's where we are.
Oh, wow, that doesn't sound like a very nice place to be in. So what you're saying is that this way that some of us are living now, and of course, we're going to reap the consequences of that. But this narrow path, what is on this narrow path? because I think our listeners want to identify with, you know, what this wrong path is, where it's going to lead to. You've already told us it's going to lead to death, doom, and destruction. But what are some of the signs along this path? Say if I'm on a path, I'm opening my door, I'm leaving out, and I'm getting ready to get on a path. What are some of the pitfalls on the path, that narrow path, that might not get me in a position where I can say, oh, Lord, oh, God, in the name of in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? What are some of the signposts on that narrow path or that back path that would lead to a person's destruction? What can they be on the lookout for?
Okay, let me say it another way. The narrow path, the narrow path of the path that leads to righteousness, holiness, and godliness. That's the narrow path. Few will find that path because few want to accept the name of Jesus. Few want to embrace the Godhead, God the Father, Jesus Christ, Son, the Holy Spirit. So the narrow path is ushered in through the churches of God that show and teach and preach and lead people the way of the narrow path so that they can be blessed and be in a position to receive eternal life in God's eternal kingdom. The broad path is the danger. The broad path is where we are today. The broad path is where the majority of the people, the population of the world living in today. We have discord. We have lying. We have cheating. We have stealing. We have adultery. We have fornication. We have crime. We have killing. We have murders. We have lack of respect. We have lack of love. We have discontent. We have evil in our hearts. All those things are manifestations of people that are heading in and living in the way of the broad path, which leads to eternal destruction and eternal damnation. That's why it's so much chaos. That's why it's interesting. If you watch the parallel between the marchers, they said, no justice, no peace. Justice representing righteousness, because righteousness is of God, and peace also represents righteousness because that of God. But the opposite of peace is discord. It's discord and destruction and damnation and confusion. And so the broad path, that's where we are. We're living in a world that is that is endeared with the broad path and the ways of the broad path, and few seek the narrow path because they reject God and they reject Jesus and they want to embrace the values of religion and coming unto salvation and being different than the others that are out there going the way of destruction in the broad path.
Okay, so if I'm opening my door up and I'm walking out of it, what are some of the things that are on the path that I need to look out for? We're talking about this path. What are some of the signposts that I need to look out for on that path?
If you're speaking of the broad path, it's the ones that I mentioned to you.
No. You already talked about that broad path. Okay, we're not talking about the broad path or the narrow path. There's a path that leads to destruction. So if I don't want to be destroyed by things I see in the world or things that I might want to run to in the world, if I'm coming out of the door and there's this path ahead of me, what are some of the things that I want to look for to let me know that I am on the right path? I want to be on the right path. I want to do the right things on the right path. So what are some of the things that I need to look for to know that I am on the right path that doesn't lead to destruction but leads to life? And I'm only bringing this up because you brought it up. So
you want to look for things and people who are exemplifying love, who are exemplifying a belief and trust in God, who is exemplifying unity, helping thy neighbor, loving thy neighbor as thyself, also being thy brother's keeper, those who are neighborly, those who are sincerely neighborly, that are concerned about your welfare as well as the welfare of theirs and the welfare of the community and the children that might live in that community, people who are moving in the direction that you can noticeably see that they have a certain amount of peace, they have a certain amount of tranquility, they have a certain amount of calmness, and they have a certain love about them. Those are the people that you want to attract because they usher in an environment of compassion, of love, of unity, of togetherness, of hope, of inspiration. Those are the things and the people that you want to seek and embrace rather than those out there caught up in all the chaos and the confusion.
Okay. That hit it on the nail. And so with that being said, is there a reward for walking in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Now, I know you mentioned spirit, so perhaps we may have a chance to get into it. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, some say the Spirit came about in the New Testament, but then before that, the Holy Ghost. So we're using these words interchangeably. So we might want to let the public know, because the topic is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So if you're transposing it to say spirit instead of that, then, of course, we might get some calls aftermath or some emails aftermath on that. If you care to explain that difference that you're actually using. But right now, what would cause a person to want to use the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in their day-to-day activities? What could a person hope to receive or hope to have in their lives to better their lives by following a converse in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Are they going to get anything? Can they expect anything good? Can they get a nod from heaven because they're doing whatever they're doing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Is there an expectation of good?
Yes. The great Apostle Paul during the first century was the greatest of the apostles of Jesus Christ, called the first of Thessalonians, that we as human beings were made or created just a little lower than the supernatural beings in heaven called angels. We are three-dimensional beings. We are spirit, body, and soul. Spirit, body, and soul, three-dimensional beings. Spirit representing that which is of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. The body is the flesh, is the physical outward manifestation that we see of each other. Within the body is the soul. Within the soul is the spirit. And so if we look at that, we're spirit beings, made in the image of the Godhead, God the Father, three persons in one, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father draws people unto salvation through the preached word. God draws. Jesus Christ the Son saves people from eternal damnation, destruction, living the way of the world. The Holy Spirit seals them unto salvation and redemption until the second coming of Jesus Christ, who's now in heaven seated at the right hand of the throne. So the Holy Spirit is now on earth doing the work of the kingdom, and those who accept God's Son, Jesus Christ, as personal Lord and Savior. And those people who accept God's Son find a peace that passes all understanding. If they seek the Lord when they have hardships, or they need healing, or they need a family member turned around through prayer, through fasting, those people's prayers are heard because they're striving to live a righteous life that's pleasing unto God. So the reward is obedience of those who seek to do the will and the way of God and seeking righteousness. Their prayers are heard. They have a certain amount of peace. People that don't have, who are not saved, who have not come unto salvation, who are unsaved, there's constant confusion and turmoil and chaos in their life. So, and the ones who are unsaved, the Bible says that unless they become saved, they will be cast into the lake of fire, which we call present-day hell. Those who are saved will receive their eternal reward. They will be ushered into the kingdom of God, which is called heaven. So we have to choose, and the Bible is clear on that. There are those who are saved, those who are unsaved, those who are obedient, those who are disobedient. So we have to choose. We have a free will to decide which way we want to live, which path we want to take, which life we want, and where we want to spend eternity, either in hell of Satan and the demons, or in heaven with Jesus Christ, Godhead, and the Holy Spirit. And that's it. Just a quick overview in a short period of time.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful overview. Well, we got some people here on the dashboard saying we didn't answer the question Dr. Cupertino put forward. What is the difference? Or is there a difference in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit? Someone is saying that in their apostolic church, they refer to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. Can you reactify that or something at that point? Okay, I'm going to try, darling. Okay, so Colonel Harrison.
Yeah.
This Holy Ghost and the term Holy Spirit. I have it on my computer on Google. I Googled what both of them mean. Can you give us that, or would you like me to answer a few of the people that are concerned with the difference? Our topic is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you haven't referred to it as that. Can you kind of help us out here? What is the difference in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit? If there is one, I'm giving you a little hint.
Yes, the Holy Ghost and the Spirit, both terms are synonymous. Both terms mean the same. It has to do with the way the Bible was translated from Greek to English. You look at Matthew 28, it speaks of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. You look at Acts chapter 2, it makes reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is the same. It's just a matter of the translation when the Bible was transferred from Greek to English as to how those writers wrote, whether they wrote Ghost, Holy Ghost, or whether they wrote Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit means the same. Third person of the Godhead. They're synonymous.
Okay, okay, now let me ask you this. So tantamount, I know we don't want to spend a lot of time, but we should if we're bringing this to the people. So after Pentecost or after Jesus ascended or when the apostles started laying hands on, Paul made reference to the Holy Ghost. So are we saying that even though they're both the same, different activities are different periods in the New Testament, would that give way to in the scriptures? You're seeing one passage where Holy Ghost and one saying Holy Spirit or the Spirit of the living God, Spirit of God. You're saying they're both in one of the same. I'm reading here where it's a noun, and that certainly, okay, listeners, that's certainly true because it has here Holy Ghost, which is a noun, another term for Holy Spirit. So what group of followers would be more apt to use Holy Spirit than Holy Ghost, or would that come into play at all?
Sure. The traditional Christian church, with a traditional Christian Protestant church, usually used the Holy Spirit in this New Testament era that we're living in. And the New Testament of books of the Bible is Matthew through Revelation. Some periodically use Holy Ghost, and again, they're interchangeable. That's the third person of the Godhead. That's the person that does the works of the kingdom here on earth. So Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same third person of the Godhead who does the work on earth. Presently here on earth doing work. Presently in those of us who are saved. The Holy Spirit.
Okay. So are we talking about a triune God then? You're saying you're putting these three together. Are we talking about a triune God, or was Jesus really Jesus, a separate Father? He's separate of that, and the activity of both of those would be the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Is that what you're saying?
Actually, no. There's three separate persons, Doc. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the
three
Holy Spirit. Three persons in one. One Godhead, but three persons. And they have distinctive individual functions within the Godhead. But
yet,
there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Amen, amen. Because we have some people on here from different faiths saying this. Hey, you guys, hold on. Colonel Harrison, thank you so much. Oh, you gave us a lot of knowledge this morning. And, of course, I'm pretty sure people are running to their Bibles right now trying to figure out, well, who do I raise my hands to? Well, you have to answer that. Thank you, guys. Hey, I love you. We love you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today. We got 9 seconds. Have a great weekend. Remember, God loves you, and we do too, no matter what. We'll look to see you in spirit or in the Holy Ghost next Saturday. God bless you. Have a great weekend.